Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about The Unconscious, a article by Emma Young entitled Cultivate Your Unconsciousness in the 28th of July 2018 New Scientist. The byline is, tap into your mind's hidden depths and you'll be amazed what you can achieve, says Emma Young. And that's obviously what I'm trying to do by podcasting and just exercising my mind all the time. How do you feel about your unconscious? Do you see it as a sort of black box full of fears and desires working to undermine you? If so, you're not alone. Such notions still have a strong grip on the popular imagination a century after Sigmund Freud first advanced them. Modern neuroscience and psychology tells a different story. Far from being a malign adjunct to the conscious mind, the unconscious is responsible for all sorts of important stuff. It is smart and it's often running the show. Still, that doesn't mean that we should just leave it alone. Quote, the vast majority of thoughts circling in your brains happen below the radar of consciousness awareness. End quote, says neuroscientist Michael Sheldon of Columbia University, New York. That's too much to miss out on. Forget Freudian psychoanalysis digging up dark thoughts instead of what about consciously tapping into your unconscious and using it to your advantage. It is early days, but already our growing understanding of the human mind means that we can begin to hack our unconscious powers for inspiration, pain relief, emotional control, memory, and more. Here's how. Ellipsis. Inspired. Everyone is familiar with the aha moment when the solution to a problem suddenly pops out into conscious awareness as if from nowhere. Would it be wonderful if those moments of creative insights came a little bit more easily, a little bit more often? It turns out there are ways that you can help your unconscious do its work. Last year, researchers by Sheldon revealed that aha moments occur when enough relevant information has accumulated in the unconscious to trigger conscious awareness of a decision. The point at which this is critical threshold is reached will vary depending on the task. However, some people seem better at achieving it than others. What's their secret? There are a couple of contenders. Studies suggest variously that creative insights is driven by one of two very different states of mind, concentrated focus and daydreaming. Intrigued by the contradiction here, Jonathan Schooler of the University of California, Santa Barbara, decided to test them head-to-head. He found that focused thinking actually undermines inspiration unless you're using an overtly analytical approach to solve a problem. By contrast, letting your mind wander after taking in information cultivates creative insight. If you want more aha moments, you must first scour some more relevant material to give your subconscious something to work on. Then, Schooler recommends finding some time for unfocused thinking. This is best done while you are engaged in an activity that's not too mentally tasking, such as walking, gardening, or household chores. Quote, try to disengage from the spontaneous thoughts that are mundane, like thoughts about current concerns or plans for upcoming tasks, or thoughts merely replaying familiar scenes, end quote, he says. People who experience more creative insights tend to report more bizarre imagery while the mind is wandering, so try to emulate them. Quote, engage with thoughts that are a bit more unusual and fantastical, end quote, says Schooler. Follow the thoughts through to the end to extend them as asking playful, imaginative questions such as, what if X was different? Or, what if X was reversed? Another way to tap into unconscious inspiration is to modify your emotional state. There is some evidence that listening to positive background music, such as Vivaldi's Spring, helps people come up with more creative ideas. Research has suggested that this might be because it triggers the release of dopamine. That's a chemical which I've just done, a little giraffe chemical. I'll just go into my head. Two hydrogens, two oxygens, connected into a hexagon of carbons in a flat ring, and on to one end of the hexagons are two carbons, and then on top of that is an amine getting across, sorry about that, which is associated with creative thinking. Christina Fong of Carnegie Mellon University, Pennsylvania, has found that simultaneously experiencing two emotions aren't typically felt together, such as fascination and excitement, encourages insight lights too. That might be, she says, because signals that you are in an unusual environment making you alert to the possibility of another unusual relationship. If so, when life will be more inspiring if you embrace change and novelty. Then there's flow. It's a slippery concept, a sort of deep immersion characterized by automaticity, a sense, for example, that the novel you are working on is writing itself. Research suggests that flow comes from when you turn off conscious thoughts. Distractions will disrupt the process, and they're not conductive to daydreaming either. So whether you are seeking flow or trying to tell your mind to wander in the hope that you solve a problem, make sure you put your phone on silent and turn off your email and social media alerts. A word of caution though, creative insight doesn't hold the answer to all your problems. You may come across research suggesting that if you make a complicated decision with lots of variables, it's better to go with your gut than to overthink it. That was a conclusion of early research in the field, but subsequently studies have, have failed to replicate the finding. Psychologist Magda Osman of Queen Mary University London looked at the evidence and found that when it comes to making choices to achieve a goal, conscious thinking works best. Conquer your fears. Fear is good. It plays an important role in our survival, but too much fear is a problem. Freud used psychoanalysis to unearth deep-seated fears so patients could address them head-on. These days, the treatment for phobia, such as irrational fear of spiders or dogs, is more likely to involve gradually increasing the individual exposure to the feared objects while they learn techniques to reduce their anxiety. But in future, psychologists may directly tap into your unconscious mind to treat phobias without traumatizing people. That's at least the hope of a team of researchers in Japan and the US. They identified a distinctive pattern of brain activity associated with fear. They introduced volunteers and found that they could be reduced simply by rewarding them when their brains displayed it, and all the while the subjects were not conscious of brain activity. What about modulating our irrational fears and anxiety? Whether it's triggered by a tiger or a spider, fear, like any emotion, is underpinned by physical signs in the body. This includes stronger and more rapid heartbeat, as well as changes in patterns of blood flow. Such bodily signals are critical to experiences of fear, even though they are usually registered unconsciously. Lowering their intensity will reduce the intensity of emotion. When they are stressed, you can do this by slowing your breathing rate. This sends a powerful signal that you are not feeling anxious to parts of your brain involved in processing emotion, which then helps regulate your heart rate. For best results, breathe in and count for 4 or 8, and within 5 minutes you should notice a significant reduction in anxiety. Music can have a similar effect, although there's no one type that works for everyone. Quote, generally, slower music of moderate volume can help slow down the respiration and help us relax, says Maria Scherz-Vines of at the Cortical Networks and Virtual Environments in Neuroscience Research Lab in Barcelona, Spain. Other experiments can help you control the kind of fear and anxiety that comes before an interview and or public speaking, or speaking in public. Although it's a contentious topic, there is evidence that power pros, such as standing with your hands on your hips and your feet spaced apart, can make people feel more confidence. By faking it until you make it doesn't always work. A classic study found that people who fake smiled by holding a pen between their teeth or lips becomes happier and more relaxed. Unfortunately, however, the result has not stood up to scrutiny. Finally, remember that your unconscious mind can trick you into feeling afraid when you have nothing to fear. In a phenomenon called emotional contagion, we unconsciously catch emotions via other people's non-verbal signals, such as the tone of their voice, posture, and even body odor. Empathy specialist Christine Kaiser of the University of Amsterdam, the Netherlands, thinks that we detect signals of emotion like fear in others. Our bodies reproduce the relevant signals which our brains interpret as our own. Some people tend to do this more than others, and it's hard to consciously safeguard against except avoiding people who are fearful, whether that's face-to-face, on social media, or even reading about them. The flip side of this, however, is that you can cultivate positive emotions simply by spending more time with the company of happy people. And take control of pain. You might think the amount of pain you feel is beyond your conscious control. No, not so. Although you can't influence your physiological pain responses to things like injury and illness, there are ways to reduce the amount of pain you perceive. When Pavel Goldstein's wife was giving birth to their first child, she opted not to take pain-killing drugs. Quote, "We had a really long delivery, around 32 hours," end quote, he says, and quote, "and she asked me to hold her hand," end quote, Goldstein, a psychologist and neuroscientist at the University of Colorado Boulder, noticed that this seemed to help his wife cope with the pain. This led him to conduct a series of studies in his lab. After he inflicted pain by heating a volunteer's arm and reported that being touched by a stranger did nothing to reduce the discomfort, whereas being touched by their romantic partner did, and the more empathetic the partner, the bigger the effect. Right. We already know that touch can communicate different emotions, for example, sadness and happiness. Perhaps we can also transfer empathy through touch, resulting in analgesia, end quote, said Goldstein. Pain is particularly susceptible to influence because it's not always helpful to hear it, said sensory neuroscientist Giando Menko Latini of the University College of London. As a result, we have ways to modulate pain, such as release of body's own painkillers. Quote, "Generally, you feel what's useful to feel," he says, "but it is possible to trick the brain into feeling less." Another way to do this is discovered by Chaz Vives and her colleagues. Sanchez Vives. Their studies show that if people take, quote, "ownership of their vital virtual reality arm, feeling that it's their own, their ability to tolerate painful stimulus applied to the real arm improves. The VR is highly immersive, interactive, and engaging," she says. "In fact, VR simulations of natural environments and other scenes are currently used in some hospitals to reduce pain or doses of painkilling medications when treating burns, patients, or even during surgery. If you don't have a VR arm available, you can create a similar effect by simply moving your body into unfamiliar positions. Linetti's team found that by getting volunteers to cross one arm over the other was enough to reduce pain caused by laser heating of the back of one hand. This seems to work by confusing the brain, which normally maps signals to your right hand to the right side of your body, and vice versa. There are other pain-bursting strategies that can try at home, too. Distraction is effective. If anyone has ever watched a TV mounted above a dentist's chair knows, pleasant smells seem to reduce the intensity of painful stimulus, though it's not entirely clear why, as does looking at pictures of you find beautiful. Swearing can also work, perhaps by triggering a hormonal response that reduces pain, as long as you don't usually swear a lot. Boosts your memory. We tend to think learning is hard work, requiring a lot of conscious effort. However, much of the process goes on behind the scenes. If you could improve the unconscious processing and retrieval of memory, you could game the system. It turns out that you can, often with very little effort. If you are learning facts such as foreign phrases and historical dates, giving you a study boost could be as simple as taking a break. Lila Devanchi of New York University has found that breaks help consolidate new memories, improving recall later. However, for a time out to work, different brain cells need to be activated to those used during the learning period. So try not to think about what you have just been working on. Better yet, sleep on it. It is well established that the brain processes memory during sleep, but it will do so more effectively if you leave the optimum time between learning and sleeping. Christoph Nissen of the University of Bern, Switzerland, found that a group of 16 to 17-year-olds performed best on tests of factual memory if they studied the material mid-afternoon, but they acquired skills involving movement faster if they practiced in the evening. He suspects that, quote, "critical window," quote, "between learning and sleep is shorter for movement-related learning and for other types of memory. Whatever adults can benefit as much as teenagers from these windows isn't clear. Quote, the evidence that adolescents have higher capacity to learn and they sleep better, end quote, says Nielsen. It's also worth noting that after the age of 60, adults generally learn better in the morning. Born Rush, the University of Pittsburgh, Switzerland, is investigating another way to boost learning during sleep. He's led a series of studies showing that adult language learners remember more when they played recordings of foreign vocab while sleeping. Oh, God. Quote, the literature on targeted memory reactivation is growing rapidly, end quote, he says. Quote, most findings are positive, end quote. However, it is important that the words are played during non-REM, slow-wave sleep, when factual memories are consolidated. So, the volume of recording should not be so loud that it disrupts sleeps. Alternatively, you could try using scents to clue learning in your sleeping brain. Rush found that to boost memory in people who smelled roses while learning a task and then again during sleep and slow-wave sleep. As well as laying down memories, your unconscious mind is responsible for retrieving them on demand. This process seems all too fallible, as those regular tip-of-the-tongue moments attest. However, an intriguing study suggests a way to improve things. Volunteers who added multiple choice questions on answer, who had to answer multiple choice questions on the computer, did significantly better if told that the correct answer would be flashed up subliminally just before each question. In fact, they weren't given the answer at all. Their improved performance was down to the placebo effect. Researchers think it worked by reducing performance anxiety and priming people for success. If you have an exam or even a pub quiz coming up, it's worth bearing in mind unlocking knowledge stored in your conscious mind could be as simple as believing you can do it. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.